Once again, Father Kumaraswamy is my guest, and this is quite a controversial session. There's no question about it. And unfortunately, Father, we lost the caller who's a relative of Dr. White, but thinking about it sort of through the break, is there a possibility that the soul resides in the whole of the body?
I was going to say, thanks to the break, St. Thomas, following Aristotle, would certainly hold that the soul is within the whole body and not limited to the head. Furthermore, if we had someone come into the emergency room with massive head injury, we would still give him extreme unction because we don't know just where the soul is. There's no possibility that it's just limited to the head.
I wouldn't have thought so, having, as I said, thought about it during the break.
Right.
All right, fine. Let's keep going then. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy.
Hello, my name is Rick. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask you, do you feel that a few select people know the answer to when the end times are going to be?
Oh. I thought in the Bible it said, no man shall know, but what about it, Father?
Well, I didn't quite get the question.
Oh, the question was simple. It was, do you feel that there are a few select men on earth that know when the last days will be?
Well, I can tell you that the old church forbids anyone to give a date to that because I think simply on practical grounds, they got tired of people saying the world's going to end on such and such a time, and the world went on existing after that time.
Yes, but his question, I believe, went to whether there is, in fact, any man on earth, within the church or out, that would have actually know that information.
I would rather doubt it.
Okay. We all know that the Catholic Church maintains extensive archives below the Vatican. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Are there many things down there, Father, that would surprise us?
Well, I can't say because I've never been down there.
Good answer. Do you suspect there are many things down there that would surprise us?
Well, I suspect there are many things we don't know. I'm not so sure they would be surprising.
Let me put it differently then, again. Do you think that if there was information out there that as the millennia have passed, Father, that would point away from a Catholic belief or would be evidence that would point away from a Catholic belief that the Church would obtain it and sequester it and not make it public?
Well, I think the Church will sometimes sequester things and not make it public,
mm-hmm.
simply because it's concerned about souls, it's concerned about privacy. For instance, if one does an exorcism, one cannot reveal that one has done it. One cannot reveal the person. You may talk
right.
about the details,
right?
But it falls under the seal of confession.
Oh, I'm certain it would, yes. All right, wildcard line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Wildcard line, are you there?
Art, can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
Art, didn't Father Martin say that there was a, before he passed away, that there was a really bad problem with homosexuality in the Catholic Church? And Father, wouldn't the John Jay report that 81% of the sexual abuse cases in the Catholic Church were homosexual in nature? Don't we have a major problem? Isn't the scandal homosexual in nature? And do you have any information with the mysterious deaths of Father Minkler and Coons of the Albany and Madison Diocese?
I don't have any information about that. It is true that Father Malachy did speak of the problem of homosexuality
mm-hmm.
long before it was recognized as even a problem.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy.
Yes. Is this me, Art?
It's you.
Okay. I didn't hear you say East Coast or East of the Rockies. Father, I'm a Catholic. I used to go to Mass every day. I moved to this small town in Wisconsin, and the priest doesn't even know the order of the Mass. I mean, sometimes he'll... I don't like the new Mass either, but sometimes he'll consecrate the body and not, or the blood and not not the bread, and or vice versa. And so I just quit going.
Well, I think you were wise.
I still pray. I do the rosary every day and a bunch of other prayers. And I confess my sins to God, but I'm not going to go to that man.
Well, I don't blame you.
And it's, I'm retired and I don't have a lot to live on. So the nearest church other than that is like 15 miles away, and I really can't afford to go. And I don't like to drive that far anyway anymore.
Well, you know, this is part of the tragedy that exists today. And I have many people who contact me saying, where can I find a genuine mass?
Mm-hmm.
Where can I find a real priest?
And what answer do you have for them?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a ready answer for all of them. There are people who there is a book published by Father Morrison, and it's on a web page. I think it's www.traditio.org, which lists where traditional masses can be found. If one lives near one of those locations, then one, of course, is blessed and one can get to the traditional mass. But by and large, the traditional mass and the traditional priest, we have returned to the time of the catacombs.
Father, I guess I'd like to understand and ask you this. If the church is not saying the traditional mass now, and the church, you're virtually saying the church is not valid.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that is replacing replacing what was?
Well, I think, as I explained in my book on the destruction of the Christian tradition, that if the tradition is destroyed, a certain vacuum is created.
Uh-huh.
And into this we have all kinds of new religions, New Age religions, various different groups claiming to be a source of truth. And,
but my question wasn't so much what else has sprung up. My question was, within the church itself, if it's replaced what was traditional with something else, then what is it? What is the goal of what they're doing now?
Well, it's not the Catholic religion, and its goal is, admittedly, to create a one-world religion.
A one-world religion.
And that's all, ultimately, I would say, part of the preparation for the Antichrist.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy. Hello.
This is me?
You, yes.
Okay, this is Chris from Craig, Colorado.
Yes, sir.
And my question is for the Father is, what kind of evil does he think is present in the church today?
Well, I don't know that I can label a kind of evil. Certainly, there is evil in the church today because you should judge the tree by its fruits. But when you say what kind of evil, that's a hard question because there's so many kinds. Not everybody in the post-conciliar church is to the same degree involved in evil. Some more, some less. So it's a very difficult question to answer in terms of what kind of evil.
The whole area is difficult because there's this silly free will thing, and I don't know how you delineate between free will and external evil influence. How do you do that?
Well, I think you can often get someone to tell you the degree to which they have committed themselves to evil.
Good point. I suppose then you'd know. Otherwise, not.
You'd have some clue. I mean, you may not have may not know absolutely, but you certainly would have a good idea.
All right. International Line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy. Hi.
Is it me?
It's you.
Oh, good.
Speak up good and loud for me, if you would, please.
How's that?
Better.
Okay, I'm not even going to try to say his name. It's quite difficult for you, so I might as well hang it up.
Don't try.
don't try. Just rock and roll.
I'll call him
Father.
Father, okay. The question I have to ask is concerning the term Father. And I'm sure that he's probably addressed this question before. When the scripture talks about how, when Jesus said, call no man upon this earth father, for you have but one father, and that is God. And call no man upon this earth rabbi, for and that means teacher, for you have but one teacher, and that's Jesus Christ. Okay? You follow me so far?
Yes.
Okay, praise God. Now, I have heard that that it was the Catholic Church that got started the term dad for a man or a woman's biological father, and why the Catholic Church bestowed upon themselves, their priest calling themselves father, and the Pope calling himself a father.
I think
I'm ignorant. I don't understand.
No, I think we get the direction of the question. Absolutely.
It sounds to me like you're what is referred to as a fundamentalist. To my mind, the issue is not terribly important. What would you like to call priests? Now, you probably object to the fact, I'm making an assumption here.
Now, you're calling him a fundamentalist.
No, it sounds like he is. But he probably objects to the fact that we have a priesthood.
Perhaps so. He's gone now. But, I mean, I was just chuckling that you were calling him a... you're pretty fundamentalist in a lot of ways.
Well, in some ways, yes. At least as the term was originally meant.
But he was quite a bit further down that road, huh?
Right. So I don't know why he objects to the fact that we are called Father God. True, it is true that God is a father, but we are, as it were, designated in the function of priest. And so the assumption is that we are living our lives based on the teaching of the Father.
Well, maybe you just should have said we're fathers with a small F or something. I don't know.
Yes, I think that would be fine.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy.
Okay. Patrick from Pompano Beach.
I can barely hear you there, buddy.
Okay, can you hear better now?
Much better.
Okay, thank you, sir. Listen, I detect some inaccuracies. Number one, Art, in what you said, it doesn't say in the scripture it says no man knows the day or the hour when Jesus will return.
Okay.
It doesn't say no man knows the year.
Oh, okay.
I agree.
Second thing is with Father Swami there, he says the church is against reincarnation. Now, in one sense, yes, but if you analyze that word to be
born again?
Reincarnated means to come back in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Jesus is due back in the flesh. In fact, the sign is that he is already here. The first time Jesus came, the blood of the infants showed that he was already here, getting ready to restore things. That's right in the New American Bible in Matthew 2:16.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Father?
Yes.
So you agreed with him then that while no man shall know the moment or something, that some man might know the year?
Right. I agree with him.
You do? Do you have...
No, I don't think anybody knows the year. I think if I understood his statement... No man knows the day or the time or the year.
Oh, no, he said no man knows the day or the time, but they might know the year.
Well, it's possible, but I doubt it.
Okay, because I was about to ask you which year, so I'll refrain. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I was married to a man that was possessed perfectly, and it was due to... Father Malachi's book, there was a book review in the Minneapolis Star about his book, 1976, about Hostage to the Devil.
Yes.
And thank goodness, because I was about ready to go crazy because I didn't know what I was dealing with. And so eventually I contacted, I had been born and raised a Catholic, but I left about when I was 18. But I knew that they were, you know, into exorcisms thing, so I needed help. And but when I brought the subject up to him after reading the book review, I realized that he had all the symptoms. I had no idea until I read that. and including the non-human smell and, you know, various other things. And so when I contacted the priest, he had a stroke.
Well, now, sir, let's cut it short. Are you saying you had an exorcism?
I tried to.
You tried?
Yes, twice.
Twice. All right. Do you remain homosexual?
No. I've got a low voice. I'm a 75-year-old old lady.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought
you said you were. I see. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
it was
sorry.
My husband.
Boy, did I. Okay.
That's okay, Art.
It was your husband.
Hey, I get lots of action when I call up a gas station to get my car fixed. Oh yeah, we can do that for you. You know. but I sing. I have a tenor voice too. So, but I am. I look like B. Arthur.
It
so, you
doesn't
know.
Matter. All right. So your husband was perfectly possessed.
Yes.
In and what way? And in what way did you know this to be true?
Well, after I read the book review that was in the Minneapolis paper about Father Malachi's book, you know, Hostage to the
yes.
Devil.
Yes.
He it was listed in there. You know, someone that you know could be possessed by evil spirits, and you might not be aware of it. And then it went on to tell, you know, and I'm going, oh, my God, you know, because all these years, it was 24 years I'd been married to him, and, I mean, I thought I was pretty intelligent. I knew there's something wrong with my marriage, but I didn't know what. And anyways, so what happened is that I asked him when he came home, you know, and he just looked at me. I said, I think I found out what's the matter with our marriage. I said, I said it very calmly, I think you're possessed by evil spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at me, and he went back to reading his paper. Well, that I thought I was going to get some, you know, when you do that to a man that's not even religious, you know, I figured I was going to really get it. And I didn't. And
but he just went back to his paper.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So then I did it, I don't know, I think it was a few days later, and I did it again.
Like, of course I am, dear.
No, same response, nothing.
Nothing.
And I'm saying, oh, no, I'm in for it. So, and there's a thing about three times. Well, the third time, he looked at me very seriously, very calmly, and he said, I don't know if I am. I will never forget that. And so then I propositioned him, like, let's see if we can do something about it, you know. And so then when I called him on, I said, I don't, you know, how do I know what to do? So I said, can you pray and say, you know, to the Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, help me get rid of this evil spirit.
Uh-huh.
Well, then it happened.
What?
He come up out of his seat, and he pointed his fingers at me. And what I saw in his eyes was something I never want to see. It was pure evil.
Once again, Father Kumaraswamy. Father, welcome back.
Thank you.
Here we go again. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate
sure.
it. My name is Michelle. I'm calling from Orange County.
Yes.
Father, with this bird flu that's going around, I asked my doctor about it, and he said that bird flu actually isn't a flu or a bacteria. It's actually it's transmitted through mites. And that it's only with the birds now, but when it mutates, it can, you know, cross over to humans. And I know it started over in China. And I was listening to Coast, and they had a news break. I think it could have been a year or two ago. And they had said that two objects had collided in China over the ocean. It was at night, and it sounded like a bomb, and that it lit up the sky for 4 hours.
And where are you going with this?
Well, I just started putting things together, and I know in Revelations 8:10, it talks about a burning mountain and a flaming star that will fall into the ocean, and the star was called Wormwood, and that it will poison a third of all the water on the earth. And I wanted to ask you, Father, do you believe that this has occurred already?
All right, fair question. Has Wormwood already done its thing?
Well, I simply have to say I don't know.
That's a fair answer. Thank you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy.
Good morning, Mr. Bell, Father Maraswamy. Kevin in transit somewhere in Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Father, I was just wondering, since you're a surgeon for quite many years, if you'd ever heard of any of the MRI studies on the schizophrenics where they actually, when they hear the voices, it's actually active in the part of their brain where, like you and I are talking right now, whereas, you know, if I think in my brain of, like, my mother's voice or Art's voice or anyone else's voice, it's in the frontal part of the brain, which accesses memories. And since I'm a police officer, I see this sort of thing all the time. And, well, I can also vouch for the fact that there's evil out there. I've stared it in the face. Mm. But I was mainly curious if you'd heard about that MRIs.
Oh, yes. In fact, the psychiatric literature is full of reports about MRI studies on schizophrenics. And it might interest you to know that the Cappadocian fathers had a theory about schizophrenia, and they thought it was in the linings of the ventricles, and that's where the very name comes from, because those are called the phrenia.
Okay.
And schizophrenia, they thought the illness lay in that location. So they didn't have MRIs, but they knew something was wrong.
Well, that's amazing. Caller?
Thank you much.
You're very welcome. That was a good answer. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy. I've got it.
Yes, hello, Art. Hello, Father.
Can barely hear you, sir. Yell at us.
Yes, hi. How are you doing today?
There you go.
Yes, I have a question. Actually, it's a two-part question concerning the Society of St. Pius X. First of all, the first part of the question is the Society Mass licit? And the second part of the question was, is John Paul II legitimate and justified in his excommunication of Archbishop Lefebvre?
What was the first part again?
What is the Society of St. Pius X Mass, is that licit?
It's not licit, but it's in many cases it's valid. The problem is that not all the priests in the society have been conditionally reordained. And so if a non-conditionally reordained priest says the Mass of John the 23rd, which is the Mass that they use, it would not be either valid or licit. Do I think that John Paul II's excommunication of the bishops is valid? The answer to that question is a little complex, because on the one hand, they claim to recognize his authority, and on the other hand, they say that his excommunications are invalid.
All right.
All righty, thank you.
All right, thank you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy.
Good evening, Art. Thanks for taking my call. It's Brian in Bakersfield.
Yes, sir.
And good evening, Father Kumaraswamy.
Good evening.
I confess I haven't heard the entirety of the conversation tonight, so I hope you don't mind my possibly retracing a little bit of ground. I thought maybe my question might be answered by the preceding caller, but it was not, as the case happened to be, because I thought perhaps that you may be a fit of a contest, as they're called, so I wanted to ask that.
I am a fit of a contest.
Okay. And because you made a comment concerning the Novus Ordo Missae and commented to one of the callers that you didn't blame her for not attending that Mass in the absence of a Roman Rite Tridentine Mass.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurs to me that that really may be doing a disservice to fellow Catholics, and
that may be so, sir, but that's his central point of the night, actually, that it is the wrong Mass, and that's everything that is wrong. Is that correct, Father?
Well, the Mass of John the 23rd, which is the Mass that they use, is, if the priest is properly ordained, is, I think, valid. The problem is that the right to use the Mass of John the 23rd carries with it the demand that you accept all of Vatican II and that you accept all the post-conciliar sacraments as completely valid. Now, in the beginning, when permission was used for the given for use of the Mass of John the 23rd, you had to go down to the bishop's house and sign a paper in which you accepted all of Vatican II and also all the new sacraments. That's no longer required, but it's implicit when you use or attend the Mass of John the 23rd. And the society also holds that all the new sacraments are fine. In fact, I don't understand myself why the society doesn't use the new sacraments if they think they're so good.
All right, caller.
Well, I'm not myself a member of the society, but the basic question remains, who, in fact, has the authority to declare that a given pope is not, in fact, the pope? That's the $10 million question. And
well, I think the answer to that is fairly simple. The pope is free to walk away from the church. No one has to declare. If, for instance, I left the priesthood and I left the Catholic Church and became, what have you, any one of the New Age religions, I would be outside the church. No one would have to come along and say, I declare you outside the church. The pope is has free will.
All right.
And if the pope acts in such a way that it's no longer Catholic, then one has to assume that he is not any longer a Catholic.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, this is Lorraine calling from Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question for Father.
I'll do my best.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Son died November the 11th. He broke to death on a peanut butter sandwich and had a heart attack. And I want to know why some people have to suffer so much in this world. He was head injured when he was 16, and for 22 years he tried to get back to where he was, but he never did. And he was just starting to turn around and when this happened. And also, do souls know when they're going to die? Because he was writing things like, I hope the angels are coming down on me again tonight, and I'm going again. I'm going real soon to see the good Lord.
All right. Well, I guess the question on suffering is first, really.
Well, you know, suffering is something very mysterious. It's often said that we can't join Christ in his glory, but we can join him in his suffering. And surprising as it may seem, suffering is really very often a tremendous blessing. It's what we do with the suffering that makes a difference. Now, some people, when they're faced with suffering, get angry at God. They get impossible to deal with. That doesn't do them very much good.
Mm-hmm.
But there are others who offer up their suffering, accept it, and, as it were, go with the flow.
Mm.
And it sounds like this young man, who was visited with angels, didn't complain about his suffering. And
no, it didn't, but she was. And,
you know,
and her second...
Like he was a very blessed soul.
Her second question was interesting. It was, do souls know when their time is close?
I believe they do. It incidentally came up recently with regard to the fear that some people have of giving extreme unction to a dying patient. It's been my experience after years of surgery, both and as a psychiatrist, that when patients are terminal, they know that they're terminal. And families come in and say to them, oh, you're going to be fine, everything's okay.
Yeah, I know.
And that just isolates the patient because they know that they're being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that most people do know when they're close to the end.
Mm-hmm. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question for both of you. Maybe you both can help me. This tends to run on the women's side of the family. We tend to see spirits and stuff like that. I am a paper route carrier. I do deliver door to door. Now, there is this one particular street that I deliver on, and I almost want to say it's the Grim Reaper. I don't know what it is, but it's like it torments me on this particular street. This thing has grabbed my shoulder one night as I was trying to get into my truck, and I dodged it. It made the whole left side of my body tingle for about a half hour after that. And I still see him from time to time. I don't know what it is, but I've seen him. He doesn't run. He leaps.
All right. Father, are there demons that conduct the kind of attacks this lady is talking about?
Well, it's very hard to say because there are disturbed people. And, you know, one has to be very careful not to call everything due to a demon.
Right. No, I just simply asked if such things have been recorded. If in fact, you believe that there have been attacks by demons of that sort.
Well, yes, I think that there have been. But I'm very hesitant to be specific about that. However, I think she is quite right to be fearful of this person and to take every precaution to avoid him.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy. Hi.
Yes, hi. Father, I just want to know, with the exception of using a sixth sense, of the five senses that God gave us, is there any way to recognize pure evil using sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell? I mean, I have come across some people that I am sure are pure evil, but I'm not quite sure what I saw in them, what I felt in them, what I smelled in them. You know, I mean, is there a way to recognize pure evil using our God-given senses?
I would be inclined to answer no. Nevertheless, I think there's something like a sixth sense when you come up against evil where something just tells you to avoid it.
Well, Father, there was a Supreme Court justice commenting on obscenity and, well, maybe it wasn't obscenity, I guess pornography, and he said something like he cannot define it legally, but he knows it when he sees it.
I think that's an excellent answer to the question.
Mm-hmm. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Father Kumaraswamy.
Hi, this is Jeff from Marysville, Yuba City, California.
Okay, you're going to have to yell at me, Jeff.
Jeff from Yuba City, Marysville, California.
Yes.
And thank you for letting us, for remembering Harry Brown. I'm a 25-year-old. That's the first man I voted for president for. So thank you for sharing that art. And on to the topic, I wanted to share that I used to be a Christian. I went to church. I was married to a beautiful young woman. And the truth that was revealed to me is that it is okay to be gay, that God loves me. And I do believe there is evil, but I flat out reject evil. And I'm sorry that just my conclusion is that it is okay to be gay, that God loves you. And it's the thing I'm concerned about is religiously, it's just going hand in hand with politics anymore. And I'm nervous, so forgive me. But anyway.
Just slow down. Do you have a question? For example, in what you just said, you said it's okay to be gay and that God loves you.
That's just my belief. I can't.
Father, do you have any?
Well, I certainly think that God loves him. I would have some question as to whether it's okay to be gay, but there's no doubt in my mind that God loves him.
Half full there, caller.
And I wouldn't, you know, why would I choose to be, I used to be married to a beautiful young woman. Why would I, you know, and I gave it to God. And the thing is, I feel like, you know, no matter who I would tell as a Christian, you know, that I gave to God this, you know, of course I want to go to heaven and be in the goodness and be with God and not separated from that merely to, you know, for a sexual reason. But it's not just a sexual reason. I believe that I am whole and complete, being honest with myself and accepted by God to be gay. And I just, and I reject evil, and I believe there is evil, and I know that I'm not evil, and that I reject evil, and that it's okay to be gay. And
well, all I can say is that God told us in Scripture, he said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And he has rejected homosexual activity as acceptable.
Hello?
Perhaps you shouldn't have pressed the point.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's my point. And then, you know, again, I'm concerned religiously because politically, I mean, this day and age, we have the churches being used to advocate, you know, our religion says this, so go out and vote this way. And then as gays, we sort of, and I know this, we're not talking politics too much, but it does go hand in hand.
All right, caller, I've got to cut you off because we're out of time anyway. Father, your book is available. I take it on Amazon, probably in all the usual places?
Yes, it is, especially on Amazon.
Especially on Amazon. Okay, yeah. The Destruction of the Christian Tradition is the name of the book. You have really, really been something else, Father. I'm sure that we will have you back again. It's been extremely interesting, so thank you.
It's been a pleasure and a privilege.